The Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in. Going to be joined by Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, talking a little to recruiting on there. Nick, what are you laughing about now?
Because every time I always call Richard and I go, "Hey, Richard, how you doing this morning?" He goes, "Man, I'm fired up, about as fired up as you are."
Well, let's hope he is fired up. I know everybody gets fired up about recruiting as it is. 24/7, 365, as we welcome in Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Richard, as always, appreciate you joining us. How you doing this morning, man?
I'm fired up, man. I'm fired up.
Well, good. We need you to be fired up because, you know, sometimes about this point in the show, after staying up and trying to watch the Razorback baseball game last night, yeah, we need a little extra boost of energy, that is for sure. But a few questions I want to get to with you. Starting off, the one that everybody wants to know about is this KJ Jefferson kid, quarterback that committed to Arkansas of the 2019 class, had a lot of scholarship offers to other SEC schools. Seems like a really big get for Arkansas, getting him out of the state of the Mississippi. What can you tell us about him and what to expect out of this kid once he arrives on campus?
Yeah, they identified KJ very early and made him a major target. And they really made a big statement earlier this year during the contact period. The entire offensive coaching staff visited his school, and you just don't see that very often. And that really got his attention and helped him get on campus. And he visited with his coach May 12th and was very impressed. Brought his mom back April the 6th in Fayetteville and visited, and then they drove down to Little Rock for the red-white game. But he's a big get from the standpoint that, I mean, you want your quarterback on board early so he can start recruiting other skilled guys, other guys on the offensive side of the ball. And he's widely respected by kids, and you know, he's got everything you're looking for. If you're looking for a bio for an Arkansas quarterback, he's got that bio. 6'3", 210 pounds, very good arm, very accurate. He threw, get this, he threw for 36 touchdowns last year. He only threw for 3 interceptions. So that tells you he's a very smart football IQ, smart guy. And his coach really emphasizes that on that a lot, just saying he's just a very smart young man. And but yeah, he's got a very impressive offer list, and you got to give the coaches staff a lot of credit. Coach Kreidick really developed a great relationship with he and his mom, and did an outstanding job there.
Got to ask you this, Richard. I think it's just the easiest way because there's so many different things going on in recruiting. But besides the KJ Jefferson deal, can you just give us an update on the recruiting side of things, football specifically, on visits, on interest, just all of that good stuff?
Yeah, like I said, maybe a week or so ago, June is going to be an exceptionally busy month. You're going to have a lot of official visitors and a lot of unofficial visitors. You're going to have camps. You're going to have, you know, satellite camps, so it's going to be very busy. Some of the official visits you're going to see come in June 7th through the 9th, a weekend. Mateo Soli, who is a defensive end from Georgia, Junior Soli's son, he'll be in that weekend. Carl Williams, a defensive lineman from Lufkin, Texas, about 6'4", 300-pounder. And then running back Marcus Major, not trying to be funny here or anything, but he's a major running back kid and from Oklahoma City. And then Jamar Nash, another kid, receiver from IMG Academy, will be in. They're probably going to have about at least 10 guys that weekend, but those are just some of them.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can also catch him on Recruiting Thursday tonight, 7 p.m. on a lot of the stations you listen to around the state. Always appreciate you joining us, Richard. Great stuff, man. We'll catch up with you next Thursday.
All right, guys. Take care.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
This is the Morning Rush.
Going to be joined by Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette here in just a second. First, though, I got to tell you about Crabtree RV.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend means camping time. Crabtree RV in Alma wants to make your family's dreams come true all summer long. Right now, Crabtree has zero money down and 90 days payment free. And payments start as low as $138 a month. That's 90 days payment free. And you can start enjoying your new or used RV today. Crabtree RV in Alma, next to the Cracker Barrel, anytime online at crabtreerv.com. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true.
Let's go to the phone lines as we're joined by Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Joins us every Thursday. Tom, good morning. Appreciate you listening to us. Are you okay? Did you get any sleep last night?
My morning rush body clock got me up about 10 minutes ago. I woke up. And we'll be fine. I might keep my eyes closed through the whole deal, but we're good.
Glad you're alert and ready to go. Hey, tonight, Arkansas, obviously the winner last night, late last night into the wee hours of this morning, a winner over South Carolina. Tonight they play Florida somewhere around 8 o'clock. We're not sure which time zone it will be 8 o'clock in, but 8 o'clock tonight. Florida, Arkansas, 1 versus 4 RPI, Singer versus Knight, we presume. This could be the game of the tournament, Tom.
Well, it should be a great game, but Brady Singer has got some kind of a hamstring thing going on, and he is not pitching. Or at least they didn't announce him as their pitcher. It's a guy named Leftwich.
All right.
And if you have Florida stats pulled up, you can call him out. I think he might be 4-4. But Dave Van Horn did call Blaine Knight. This is probably close to about 2 a.m. when I got a text saying that it was going to be Blaine Knight. So they were maybe kind of trying to hope to keep him on an actual full week of rest. But what this does do, he pitches one day early this time, then next week he'll have a little bit longer rest. So a healthy Blaine Knight in the postseason is a huge card for the Razorbacks.
Tom, one of the things that we talked about a little bit was if Arkansas beat Florida tonight. I feel like if they win against Florida, they have to win it all, or at least go all in on winning the SEC tournament, because we've had this debate of whether or not it's important. But in my opinion, if you beat the number one seeded team, especially when you can get some momentum heading into postseason play, it's almost like the expectation becomes that you at least have to play for the title, much less win the title.
Well, if your overall mindset, like mine is that play long enough to get your postseason seeding in order, then it's not a big deal. But if you've never won the SEC tournament before, I agree with your thought that let's just go ahead and try to win this thing. So maybe they make a big push. I think Dave would really like to win this tournament at some point. He's got the kind of team that can kind of bang its way to that. But if you think about it, let's say you do win, and then let's say Campbell pitches on Friday, and you win that, and that puts you in the final. Who do you go with? You used Ramish for quite a bit last night. He's the guy who started for you in the last game against Georgia. Maybe you start Caleb Bolden. Maybe you start Bryce Bonner. I'm not sure. But by the way, last night was a huge deal for Arkansas, because if you had any concerns about whether they could be a lock for a top eight, I think winning last night probably did that, because the teams they're allegedly, I guess, competing against, Georgia and Ole Miss, both lost their game. And I'm not sure if the committee will put four SEC teams in the top eight of the seed, but Arkansas was kind of considered a little bit above Ole Miss, just an RPI, and I know D1 Baseball had Arkansas higher. So this maybe keeps them ahead of Ole Miss. So that it was big in that regard.
You know, a win against Florida, then you look back, a midweek win over Texas Tech. You got a sweep against Kentucky. You start looking at Arkansas's resume and the teams they play. Their RPI is at 4 right now. I don't know how much higher it can go with a win over Florida at this point, but Ray Tanner, who chairs that committee, knows the value of winning in the SEC.
Oh, yeah, there is no question about that. And I agree with you. I don't know if it can get much higher, but when you play number one, I mean, their strength of schedule, I believe, is 2, depending on who you're looking at, 2 or 3. So you play Florida again. If you win it, you split with Florida. I think, absolute lock. But I also think that having won a game here, they're going to get a top eight seed. And boy, that's got to make Razorback fans happy, because if you can win a regional, as you should be favored, then you're hosting that super regional, should be favored there at Baum, and wow, ticket to Omaha.
Well, am I way off in thinking a win over Florida might even put you at 4 or 5? I mean, I don't think you're just trying to scrape your way into the top eight. I think you're securely in, but maybe a win tonight would put you in the top half of that top eight.
It could be that. And the thing is, you know, the higher you get on the national seed, the, you know, supposedly lower ranked team that you'd be facing for your super regional. Let's not get ahead of myself. Not a good baseball left, but I tell you, the way they slotted the ball around, they looked like they were really locked in. Heffley first has it back. I'm back in the first inning. First couple of batters went fishing for some high pitches. And then Kerstad was very disciplined. He laid off some, got the walk. Bonfield, always disciplined, got the walk. And that just set up the inning. By the way, Dominic Fletcher also disciplined, did not chase some high pitches, and got some meat on 3-1, wrote it out of the ballpark, and it changed the complexion of the game to 3-0. By the way, walking to my hotel room last night, the guy with a South Carolina jersey on that said Chapman on the back came off the elevator at 2:30 when I was coming on, and I think maybe he's related to Logan Chapman, but I used up my snark quotient last night, and I had nothing to say to that guy.
Nothing good happens at 2 a.m. anyway.
No. Well, I said nothing. Just said, oh, excuse me. So it was a fun night last night. Last night was Troll Mike Irwin night, and I think tonight on Twitter, tonight it might be Troll John and Tommy. I don't know. We all up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Hopefully tonight won't be as late of a start and as late as a finish. Hopefully they can get some games going and the weather will hold out and there's not any extra innings. Hopefully it all work out for nicely for us who have to wake up really early in the morning to do a sports talk radio show. But I know better than that. I don't think our luck is that good. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate you joining us, Tom. Get you some sleep, man. We'll be catching up with you next week.
One clean weather day today. Let's make it happen, boys.
Yeah. Please, please, let's make it happen. 877-377-6963. Third hour of the show on the other side.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Follow the Morning Rush on Twitter at Morning Rush Show. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in today. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. Talking a lot about the baseball side of things and just the competitiveness of the SEC across the board. We'll bring that up here in another segment to discuss that, because I still think it's an interesting topic as far as the competitiveness of the conference, man.
Well, now let's also talk about the starting pitchers in tonight's Arkansas-Florida game and how that pans out. I want to mention real quick the signing tour coming up for the TBT team. The basketball tournament, Arkansas's alumni team going to be playing. Nick, you're involved with the team. We got some players coming down, some Razorback greats going to be signing autographs at Cherokee Casino in Roland. That's the Roland location for Cherokee Casino. This coming up June the 9th, so a couple Saturdays away, but 5 to 7, you can swing by and get pictures. You can meet these guys. You can get their autographs. Tell us the list of guys. Because I know Dusty Hannes is going to be a crowd favorite. You've got
Kai Madden,
you got Ronnie. Jabril, is Ronnie coming down?
Jabril, I've reached out to Ronnie. He's getting back to me, but Ronnie's on the team. Alandis Harris is on the team. Mike Qualls, Marshawn Powell, Dusty Hannes, Jabril Durham, Kai Madden. So it's definitely a loaded team, a team that will start playing on ESPN in July. Everything is free, so come on down to Cherokee Casino Roland, June the 9th, 5 to 7 p.m., chat it up with those guys, get autographs, take pictures, tell old stories. And once again, it is F-R-E-E for those out there that can't spell.
Free 99.
Free 99.
Our favorite F word.
Yes. And so come on out to Cherokee Casino June the 9th, 5 to 7. I'm probably going to have to excuse myself after that last comment.
Well, here's my question.
Free. I know free is your favorite F word.
Yes. But, yeah. I mean, it's everyone's favorite F word. At least I hope it is. But is anyone going to get their autograph from you, Nick? Pictures with you? Because you'll be there.
Yeah. Hey, true story.
It'll be free.
It'll be free, hopefully.
True story. I'm down there, and I'm playing. and the pit bosses and, you know, and all the dealers and stuff, they all just like to ask you, hey, well, what do you do and this and this and this? And so, you know, I'll tell them a little small, you know, a little bit. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So, who's the guy who can make the T-shirts who always calls in? Who used to call in?
Cecil.
Yes.
Cecil.
So yeah. I'm down here. I'm playing. And if you've ever met Cecil, he'll make you feel larger than life in the moment. So it's a full table. And we're playing. And people are talking. And it's a lot of people there. And he sees me from across the room. So he just yells. He's like, Nick. And so he comes over there. He's like, man. And like, he holds up the game because it's my turn to decide if I'm going to hit or stay or whatever. He's like, man, he's like, well, hop up real quick. I need to get a picture with you. So he's taking all these pictures and stuff. And then everybody's just kind of looking. And so everybody's like, wow, well, you didn't tell us that you were famous. And I said, I didn't know that I was famous. But I appreciate Cecil for that.
Yeah.
Because now everybody there like thinks that I'm a much bigger deal than what I really am.
So was that the biggest moment where you felt like you were a celebrity?
No, I've had,
I'm sure you have.
Yeah, I've had a few others. There was another one at US Pizza where a bunch of kids recognized me, so I felt pretty important.
From what?
Now, this is whenever I was playing, and what I would do is I'd come out way early. Yeah, I'd come out. Well, see, that's the great thing about basketball.
That was mean.
And in basketball, you can be the 14th man, and they only carry 13, but you can be the 14th man on the team, and people will still know your face. And I used to come out super early, and I would go in the stands and just get kids and just bring them down
and offer them your autograph.
Yeah. Yeah. And play one-on-one. Well, and I happened to get a kid one time there in US Pizza.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Well, two guys that don't have to offer autographs are Brady Singer from Florida, their stud pitcher, and Blaine Knight, who had a win earlier this year over the Florida team on the road, by the way. These are the presumed starters for tonight's game, John, and I think this is potentially the game of the day at the SEC tournament just because of who you presume will be the starting pitchers.
I mean, game of the tournament, in my opinion.
Possibly.
I mean, I know that you could throw out there and you could start arguing about who's the best pitcher, second best pitcher behind Brady Singer, you know. But, I mean, when you're talking about two guys with Blaine Knight and Brady Singer going against each other, you have Florida, of course, which is, I still think they're the best team in the country. I know that RPIs and different pollings have them, but they're still up there, at least in the conversation. Yeah. Arkansas wrapping up a top 8 seed. So, you know, they're going to be involved in the conversation, too. But I think both teams are good enough to win the College World Series, and then you're throwing your ace pitchers against each other. I mean, what more can you ask?
And why not throw Blaine Knight tonight against Florida? Great RPI opportunity. You're in the double elimination part of the bracket still until Saturday's play when it becomes single elimination again. It's a weird SEC bracket, but that's how it works. Starts out single elimination. We're in the double. Goes back to single by Saturday. But you're only going to pitch him once. And if you pitch him today, he's got a full week's rest, assuming you start him. And I say assuming as a one seed, which I don't think that's an assumption, Arkansas would start him against a four seed in the regionals at home. I would love to see Van Horn have the willingness, I don't know how gutsy it is, to not start him in game one of a regional. There's a risk there. I understand there's been teams get bit in the backside doing it that way. But, you know, your number two guy, Campbell, ought to be able to go out with this lineup of hitters and take care of a four seed on your home field. And then you got Knight to go potentially 2-0 in your regional, and you're setting on your way. But I don't know. That's cart in front of horse conversation. But either way, you're going to have a full week's rest for Knight's arm.
Yeah, you throw Knight tonight.
You
have to throw Knight tonight. I don't even know why there would even be a conversation. And I know that Van Horn said that he's going to talk to Wes Johnson about it, but he's leaning there, and I think he's going to do it.
If you're saving him, you're saving him for what? The elimination game? To stay in the tournament longer? I mean,
there's no point to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to happen tonight, which is, again, why I'm so excited, and I hope to goodness that we actually have a decent start time to where you can actually be able to watch the game instead of having to go so late. I know the weather's going to be iffy again there in Hoover, but I mean, you couldn't ask for a better matchup between two teams and two pitchers. So, yeah, if you throw Knight here, and you mentioned it, Tommy, you get him plenty of rest, plenty of time to get into the regional, and also set your own pitching staff up nicely to where you can have some maneuvering around to where you're not overdoing it to certain pitchers, but you're also putting them in positions to where you can basically, I don't want to call it playing to your competition, but you always want to throw your best guys against the best teams. And what team is better than Florida? Not in this tournament. Mm-mm. Throw your best guy against them.
Well, again, I think Arkansas has already locked up a top eight national seed. Would a win over Florida at this point, would a couple of more wins in the SEC tournament, you know, get you a notch higher, two notches higher? I don't know. I mean,
Let's throw it out there.
Well, it's a long season. There's 56 or whatever regular season games. Arkansas didn't get all of those in. But, you know, you're going to end up with just shy of 60 ball games by the time you go in front of the committee. I can't imagine there's a whole lot any team in the country can do at this point to drastically change their fate. We think about it in basketball, but in basketball you play half as many games, and we think a win in a conference tournament is going to move you on a seed line a lot, and oftentimes we find out after the fact, conference tournament play, unless you won three or four games in a row, doesn't really have a lot to do with it. I don't know that one win tonight is going to move you a whole lot in a national seeding conversation, just because you've kind of already written the book about who you are at this point.
Yeah, but
and it's a good book for Arkansas.
But if you put it out there, say if they won the SEC tournament, won it all.
Yeah, but
I mean, does that move it at all?
Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, how much are we talking?
But
here?
Now you're talking three or four more wins, and you're talking right. about presumably three or four wins against top 10 teams in the country, even though Georgia and Ole Miss have been knocked out at this point, right? Well, they're in the loser's bracket. They're not going to win the SEC tournament. But I just, you know, what's the value in winning the SEC tournament?
Age-old question. What is the value? Just to say you're SEC champions or SEC tournament champions?
Something Arkansas has never done, and they've been to, what, four College World Series under Van Horn without doing it at all? I just think you wear your team down, you wear your arms down by doing it.
I just don't see the value. Yeah, I don't see the value. And I know that you never want to go into something and say, oh, we're just going to lose this and get out of here because we don't like it or anything. But it's almost just, it's like such a, okay, here's a little consolation thing for some of the teams that won't have any postseason play and all that.
If you're not trying to win it, though, and you do,
well,
I don't know if that's necessarily a detriment to your team if you're not actively trying. Because if you aren't trying anymore and you're just like, hey, it is what it is, and you're just throwing any and everybody – and you're just putting together, I mean, you're just putting together enough arms, because at that point, you would just start throwing whoever and guys that you're not necessarily going to depend on down the stretch. If you happen to win it that way, then yeah, I think that it's great, because it's always great to win a championship of some sort, especially when you're talking in the SEC, in football, or in baseball. But to actively go out and try to win it the way that you would try to win a regional, to get to a super regional, to get to Omaha, or the way that you try to win a College World Series, I don't think anybody is advocating for that.
And at what point do just competitive juices take over? I mean,
from the first inning?
Well, I mean,
because and that's the thing. You can't tell a kid,
or just tell a coach, hey, let's just make a decision to not win. I mean, that just isn't how they're wired or programmed. No. I mean, no one's going into these games. Don't mishear what we're saying. No one's going into these games saying, let's lose today.
No, but they are saying, hey, whatever happens, happens. This is the guy that we're going to throw, and these are the other guys we're going to insert into the lineup. Now, if they happen to win, then they just win. But we're clearly not going to put our best foot forward, because this is not a regional, super regional.
You see it in sports all the time. I like to bring up always the NBA, because Popovich was known for resting guys. Now, I know it's a little different of a situation, but just when you rested guys, that mean the guys you inserted didn't play hard, didn't go 100%, didn't want to try to win the game? No, it's just you weren't throwing your best guys out there for the big picture, for the long term. Yes. It's kind of the same thing.
All you're saying is, I still want to win the game. But instead of me putting my best foot forward, you know, this is what I'm going with, because the big picture is to win a championship, not a game.
Yeah. We'll get to everyone's favorite segment here on the other side of the break. But first, this from Stonebridge Village.
Yeah, if you're planning a trip to Branson this summer, you need to check out Stonebridge Village. It's the place to stay. It's just 3 miles from Silver Dollar City. And if you've ever been out there in the summer, you know how the traffic can be. So being a little bit closer can be a time saver when you're talking about going to Silver Dollar City. 3,500 acres that's surrounded by the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Great golf course there, Ledgestone, an 18-hole resort golf course. It's wonderful. They got a great restaurant, the kids' pool. Look at their pictures. You can go to our website, hitthatline.com. There's a link to go to Stonebridge Village Management website and see it there. They got a great pool for the kids. Barn lounge, catch and release lake, tennis courts, business center. It's all there. You've been probably paying just as much to stay in a crowded hotel room. Why not have a little more space to stretch out? Night and weekly rentals are available at Stonebridge Village. Call 800-81-STONE to make your reservation for this spring or summer. That's 800-81-STONE for Stonebridge Village in Branson.
The most honest sports. Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com. I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
In my fall, cause I wanna get it on till I die. In my fall, cause I wanna get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I refuse to wear pants.
Tommy Kraft.
Tavita Tualaka Ogno Tualapa Opano Mosesetavo Bahi Ono Bihokeo Balai Tutuo. I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft, John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. Thank you, as always, for making us a part of your morning this morning. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette will be joining us around 7:45. We're also going to welcome in Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback, as well on a few of the topics. But we do have to go to the phone lines real quick to get this topic, because this is PA and Texarkana, who I guess he's calling out your argument, Nick.
I think that's what he said. Okay. I couldn't really understand him. Yeah, so.
PA, what's going on, man?
Well, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing, that you wanted to keep a couple of guys. Well, I can't think of their names. That you were.
Hang on, that's
of.
Your you that, can't even think of their names, and you're calling in to argue about it.
That ought to tell you right there how much you know. How much,
you don't know
about
the NBA, yeah. That's what that
is. I don't know about the NBA. I know a lot about the NBA.
But you don't know two guys that are starting, leading the team in scoring, playing every day.
Is this your argument? Is it because I'm not familiar with their names? I mean, are we going to get into the crux of the situation? Right,
so,
I mean,
so what's your point?
My point is, I don't think that why would you want to give away Gordon Hayward, who is basically filling up on being very good player, a probably 2 out of every 3 years, maybe 3 out of every 5 years, all-star. He's got the athletic ability, and you traded for him. Coached him in college. And knows everything he can and cannot do. Plus, he's never got the chance to really play with Kyrie Irving, who is one of the, if not the best, point guard in the league. Now, it's just really not a fair comparison. I mean, you know,
to try. Hang on, 1 second. So,
yeah.
It's not fair to try to flip him for a guy like Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins. Or DeAndre Jordan, a guy that not every 3 out of 5 years, but every single year, these guys are all stars, and they're currently superstars, and they're not coming off of a season-ending injury.
What does Gordon Hayward play? The three spot?
Yes.
Well, they're not going to do that. I mean, who would swap a guy who's a three? Or a 4 or a 5 that can play. I mean, that's just not done. Nobody does that.
Who would? Hey, let me ask you something else. Who would trade a superstar? Who would trade a superstar for Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder?
Well,
nobody would ever do that, would they?
I hate to say this, but it's always easy to step for the guy with a lack of melon in his skin out the back door. You know, I mean, he can't play because
Because he's white?
Hold on. He can play. That's why you're trying to trade him for a superstar. I think you're missing the point. He can definitely play. I'm saying when you're looking at the fact that he plays the wing spot, the same spot that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum play, and he cost about $20 million a year, and these other guys cost about $7 or $8 million a year, he definitely can play, or else I'd tell you to go trade him for a borderline starter. I'm saying try to flip him for another superstar. It has nothing to do with him being black or white.
Well, I know. Okay. I'll take that back then. But why do you want to trade him? Didn't even have a chance to. Based on that, but why don't you trade Kyrie? He didn't play with.
Right. I said Kyrie as well. I guess your radio gave out at that point. But I said Kyrie or Gordon, whoever you can get rid of to try to get you a starting center or a starting big, a superstar, if you can package those guys and get a couple other guys. Then do that, because without them, you're in the Eastern Conference Finals with a chance to beat LeBron and go to the finals where you're going to get smoked. So at that point, you need to take a step back and flip those guys for other pieces and better pieces to make a better team.
So you're trying to say that Roberts guy is better than Hayward and Kyrie? Whoever this guy is. See, I think you become a prisoner of the moment. These two, a couple, three guys that you named out there.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum that have played well the entire year.
They've had a few decent games, but they weren't on. They were not going to start this year either.
Correct. No.
But you know what? They weren't going to start because they're not as good as Kyrie and they're not as good as Gordon Hayward.
I agree.
Now, if you want to give the Boston the best chance to be a great team like they used to be. Who's one of the best, if not the best, three player of all time? Played right there in Boston.
The white Larry Bird.
Very white Larry Bird. Lenny White. How about that? Look, I played in Stevens, Arkansas, which is about 80% black. I was one of two guys on the basketball team. We only had 12 jerseys. In other words, you had to earn it. And I played on the state championship team, and that's all we knew in Stevens was basketball. So don't try to big dog me on not knowing basketball. I do know basketball.
No, I say you don't know the NBA because you brought a discussion to me, and you don't know the two guys' names that we're discussing.
So that I'm just talking about framing a team. Who cares what their names are? There's a reason they would have sat on the bench this year if Hayward and Kyrie had not gotten hurt, because they're not as good.
Well, Jaylen Brown was actually starting at the beginning of the season whenever those guys were healthy.
So Hayward got hurt the first game.
Right, and Jaylen Brown was starting in the game with Hayward.
And Jason Tatum was a rookie.
Whenever they got
hurt. What number option do you think this guy you're talking about, what number option would he have been? If neither Kyrie had gotten hurt or Hayward had gotten hurt.
Third or fourth. The same he's going to be if they trade him for Anthony Davis, who is a superstar.
If it was ready, you'd get Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is maybe one of the top four or five players in the league. You're not going to get you couldn't get Gordon Hayward. He's not in that league. He's not in that type of talent. Those guys are rare.
You don't think so? Are you saying that because he's white? Because he can play.
Oh, I don't care about that. I don't care about the white. I really don't. I just had to throw that in there. I don't care if he's white or whatever color.
Yeah. Well, P.A., we appreciate you calling. Right, man. We got to move on, man. That was...
Now, we used up our entire NBA conversation budget for the month on that. Right?
Yeah, that was...
But now,
a good conversation.
I may be mistaken... I just thought that was the dumbest thing to say. Oh, you're trying to throw him out because he's not black.
Yeah.
Now, did I take that the wrong way? But I'm pretty sure I'll go back and listen to him. I'm pretty sure he said you're trying to throw him out trade him away because he's not black.
And then he retracted it once he realized that you had also said the same thing about Kyrie too. He says, "Well, I take that back." But yes, he did. He did say that.
I mean, it blows my mind. I'm trying to trade a guy because he's not. But and, I know that's what he thought because he brought up Larry Bird, and that was the comparison. Hey, well, he was really white.
He was really, really good, too.
Yeah. Trying to read between the lines here, though. He doesn't believe either of those two players are tradable for an Anthony Davis. I mean, is what he essentially was
correct.
Saying.
And the only thing that I'm saying, and I would agree with him, but how did Boston get Kyrie Irving as a superstar? They traded a Lunchable and a bag of chips, and they got Kyrie Irving. Like, they traded Isaiah Thomas, who won't ever be able to play. I mean, he can't play. He couldn't walk at the time. They traded a guy that cannot play for half the season. They traded Jay Crowder. He ain't even on team anymore. I mean, and so it's like they traded that for a superstar. So for me saying that maybe they can put together a couple of these guys or a couple of other guys to go out and get other pieces, other really good pieces, that isn't crazy because I thought it was crazy that Kyrie's on the team.
It was a good, great
discussion.
That
was a waste. Let's just go to break and have
it was a good conversation.
A lot more time on the other side. Talk about something else.
You know, you're pretty good at debating.
I can't believe you said that.
No, it's the first time I think the show since I've been on it in the last couple of years. I mean, it was a legit basketball conversation.
Yeah, big time.
Feel pretty pumped about it.
I don't feel good about myself because I debated a guy that doesn't know the names of the starters that we were debating.
Yeah, that wasn't a good
start. But at least you didn't lose the debate.
Yeah, true. I'd have to
You'd be feeling really bad if you'd lost the debate to that guy.
I agree.
Yeah. Right. Hey, before we get out of here, let me tell you about Ritchie Brothers Auctioneers. If you've got heavy equipment like trucks, tractors, bulldozers, you're in the construction business, whatever, you got assets you need to sell, Ritchie Brothers offers unprecedented choices and ways to sell when, where, and how you need to. They've been doing it for 60 years. They got unreserved on-site auctions they can do, weekly online auctions, reserved online marketplaces. They even got an extensive buyer network globally they can tap into as well for you. So whether your equipment selling needs, whatever your equipment selling needs are, one item, a fleet of items, they can help you with Ritchie Brothers because your needs are their purpose. Call David Lee, 479-651-5331 or go to richiebros.com. That's Ritchie, BROS.com.
Honest Razorback talk that never yields. This is the morning.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.